everything. Did you remember to sleep? What a surprise. Let's talk and let's laugh, because I got so much to tell you. So let's go kick some art.
Kia ora and welcome to Kick Arts with Emma and Stephen, proudly supported this month by the Dolphin Theatre. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive arts show brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcast, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz. Tonight we have a very full show. We are chatting with artists from Indian Ink, Black Grace, Dolphin Theatre and The Basement Theatre, plus the fabulous author Riley Chance is on the show. It is jam-packed tonight. Now it is the King's birthday, so tonight our music has to be all things King or Royal reference, so of course we have to start with Lords Royals.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy, but every song's like gold teeth, grey goose dripping in the back. Bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair. And we'll never be royal.
Royals.
It's a run in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Ruler.
You can call me Queen Bee.
And baby, I'll rule.
I'll rule. Let me live that fantasy.
My friends and I, we've cracked the code. We count our dollars on the train to the party. And everyone who knows us knows
that we're fine with this. We didn't come for money.
But every song's like gold teeth, grey goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold. We don't care.
We aren't caught up in your love affair. And we'll never be royal. It's a run in our blood. That kind of love's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Ruler.
You can call me Queen Bee.
And baby, I'll rule.
I'll rule. Let me live that fantasy. And we'll never be royal. It's a run in our blood. That kind of love's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. You can call me Queen Bee.
And baby, I'll rule.
Let me live that fantasy.
Oh, happy King's birthday, Emma.
Sounds weird.
I know. Takes a little bit of getting used to, doesn't it? You know, that sort of royalty.
I was trying to find, like, a really cool, funky picture of Charles with his crown on.
Oh, dear.
But there really wasn't anything.
There wasn't?
He just looks really old.
He can't help that. He can't help that.
Yeah, I suppose.
So what did you get up to for this King's birthday weekend? You've just closed a show?
I have just closed a show with our kids at Stage Antics. Just have finished Fame Junior, so that's good to have that ticked off. I just need to unload my car now.
Always, always. It was a great show. Well done. Always love seeing the energy of your kids on stage. They love it. You can just tell they love every second. Mm. Right through to that curtain call.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hey, our friends at Chocolate and Carnage did really well. There must be something about coming on Kick Arts a week out from your boosted closing.
Because our Edinburgh lot are off to Edinburgh as well. Clocked over their amount. Fantastic.
And Chocolate and Carnage clocked over theirs too. I think they're sitting on 120%. So you come on our show, you're at 60% boosted. We promote it, and the following week you clock your bits.
Clock your bits. Okay. All right. Well, instead of clocking your bits, how about we jump on the phone to our first guest of the night, which is the fabulous Rodney from Black Grace. Welcome to the show, Rodney. How are you?
Is he there? Hello, Rodney.
Let's try that line. Hello, Rodney.
Oh, there he goes.
That was our yes, that was our fault. We're using new lines today at the studio, and Stephen's not pressing the right buttons. Welcome to the show, Rodney. Great to have you here.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Awesome to have you. Now, you've heard a chat about Paradise Rumour coming up at Sky City Theatre from June the 7th. What is Paradise Rumour all about?
Yeah, so Paradise Rumour is choreographed by our artistic director, Neil Yeremia. So it explores the different facets within a person, you know, the complexities that come with that. You know, sometimes they work together harmoniously, other times they collide with each other and has that real internal battle. Yeah, this work touches on a lot of different things, from the arrival of missionaries in the Pacific to being a hopeful dreamer with your head in the clouds and, you know, having to face reality. I think it's also important for me to mention that this work is a continuation from a previous work that debuted in 2009 called Gathering Clouds, which was a response to an economist academic paper who talked about the negative impacts of Pacific migration to New Zealand, and just called it a drain on the system. So yeah, Paradise Rumour is just an extension of that work, and is a way of asking, you know, how far have we come since then?
Brilliant.
Now, you have come a long way since graduating in 2015. Did you like that little segue there?
Beautiful.
Is that a cute
beautiful
way to do it?
Yeah.
So, you went through doing contemporary dance at Unitech?
Yes, I was there from 2013 to 2015.
So, did you go straight from school to Unitech?
Yes, yeah.
So why dance? What led you down that pathway?
I think at the time of graduating high school, I wasn't too sure of what I was wanting to do. And at the time, I just really enjoyed dancing. Just was an opportunity to express myself. And once my dance teacher found out I wasn't too sure what I was doing after high school, she kind of pushed me towards exploring this as an option.
All performers need a good performing arts teacher to give them a push sometimes, don't they?
Yeah, most definitely.
Shout out to your teacher. So, and then you've travelled overseas with Black Grace as well?
Yeah, so we've recently just come back from a tour of the United Arab Emirates. So we were over in Sharjah, which is about a 10-minute drive from Dubai. And we were there for a week and performed at the Sharjah Arts Foundation Biennale.
And what's it like going to somewhere like that and dancing? What was their response to it?
Yeah, it was a great experience. I think, from my understanding, was the first time the company has been in that part of the world. So it was great to experience a different culture and see the traditions, as well as kind of have that exchange of bringing the Pacific and showcasing that on stage to them. And yeah, the reception was great from what I had seen. And yeah, it was just an awesome opportunity.
Brilliant. Now take us now to Paradise Rumour. What's your involvement in this one? Walk us through your journey.
So there are four dancers within the work, and each of us represent a different part of the single person. So the person that, emotion and the characteristics that I'm representing is sorrow and acceptance.
Okay.
And it's just as the show progresses, my character just goes through that journey of, you know, feeling that sorrow and then slowly accepting it over time and building that strength and finding that inner strength, sorry.
Brilliant, brilliant. What do you want audiences to take away? We always say, you know, we've got a hidden camera out the front capturing the thoughts of people as they leave. What would you like them to be thinking or saying?
I want them to go away, you know, with any thought in general, like if it changes how they perceive their life or how they operate within from day to day.
Cool. Awesome. All right. So tell us, when is Paradise Rumour on and how can people get tickets to come and support?
So Paradise Rumour opens on the 7th of June, which is this coming Wednesday, and you can get tickets at Ticketmaster.
Easy.
If you visit the Black Grace Dance Company Instagram page at Black Grace Dance Company, there will be more information there.
Awesome. Well, we wish you all the best for your run of Paradise Rumour.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Rodney. All the best. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Brilliant. Always great, Black Grace. They do stunning work.
They sure do.
Speaking of stunning work, no pressure to the people in the studio tonight, but welcoming in here is the fabulous Catherine, Corey and Ben. And a little later on, we've got some other guests joining us. Welcome to the show, team.
Hi.
Great to have you all here. Now, Catherine, you're here from Indian Ink Company.
That would be right.
Excellent. And Corey and Ben, you're here to join us from the Dolphin Theatre. What's the name of your current piece of work?
We are putting on Glengarry Glen Ross by David Mamet.
Glengarry Glen Ross. It's not one I'm familiar with, are you?
No. Right. The writer I'm familiar with, yeah. But not the name of the show, no.
All right, we'll have lots of unpacking to do with you as the night unfolds. But first we're going to kick it off with Catherine. Catherine, Indian Ink Company's been around for a long time. You know, they're very well known both nationally and internationally. Mm-hmm. Have you just come back from a recent tour? Did you get to go with the group that recently went overseas?
No, I didn't. That's me this year. Coming up.
Okay, brilliant, yeah, brilliant. Yeah. So what are you working on at the moment? Tell us all about it.
So it's a show called Dirty Work. I've been in the process of kind of putting it together for the past 3 years.
Wow.
Where we had a development season last year, and we open on the 16th of June with this one. And the whole thing about this is there's 24 people on the stage and only 4 people have read the script.
Ooh.
So every night we have a choir that come and join us as an ensemble group who are office workers in the world, and they have rehearsed songs as a group, as a choir, and they're prompted throughout to join in on the story, and it's a really, really amazing feeling being amongst the songs. And
so when you tour this, because you've got those unexpected guests, do you just pick up local choirs from wherever you're performing, or how does it work?
Yeah, that's right. So there's some choirs. There's one group we're working with, Viva Voce. They're joining us for the Auckland season. But around the country, yeah, we put the call out, and same goes with Auckland as well. So a few people have kind of put their hand up and said, I want to be a part of the choir, and they're joining us. But yeah, some established choirs and some are volunteering, yeah.
And is this the show you're taking overseas as well, or is that a different one?
Fingers crossed eventually with this one going overseas. So hopefully next year, into next year, potentially.
Brilliant, okay.
And what got you, or how did you get involved with Indian Ink?
Really cool story, actually. Oh, I've set myself up well.
Yeah. No pressure.
So I was a part of their Next Generation program, so they did a call out for that in 2020 over the COVID time to meet the new generation, sign up and whatever, be mentored by them. And I utilised every opportunity that I could to kind of be in the room with them and be in the rehearsal space and things like that. And when they came up to rehearsing this script and devising it and figuring it all out, the actor that they'd originally organised to be there couldn't make it for whatever reason. And because I had been in the rehearsal room, they thought, oh, wow, Kathy, can you jump in? And the rest is history.
See, it just shows. Like, Steve and I constantly are telling our young people to make the most of every opportunity. Because
and
you
be
don't
visible.
Know
be there.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
something like that's going to happen.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's a dream, really. Yeah.
So unpack the story a little bit more. What are audiences going to sort of take us on their journey?
Okay. So it's set in an office, and there are three characters, main characters. We have the boss of the office, Neil, who played by Justin Rogers, and we have an office member. Her name is Tessa Rao, or yeah, the actor who plays Tessa Rao, and I play a character who is the cleaner, and we learn more about her. It's a big reveal at the end of who she is. And it's kind of about the dynamic of the social dynamics within that kind of, I don't want to say dynamic again, but I'm going to.
Yeah. Because I'm just looking at the website, such awesome photography, whoever did it, 100%. But are the other people then in our shots here, that's the office workers, is that the choir?
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they're going to come. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's got me intrigued, Emma. I like a show that gets me intrigued.
Bit of risky business.
Yeah.
A bit nervy because we know how people are going to.
Well, and also doing it in each city, you might get into a bit of a routine in Auckland, and then you're going to have a very different feel in Nelson, Christchurch, Wellington, and then back up to Tauranga.
That's right.
Ooh.
So tell us, what is it like working with people like Jacob and Justin, who have been around for 25 years now?
Really cool.
Give us the dirt on them.
Dirt. Oh, my gosh. Hope you're not listening. No. Really cool. I've looked up to them for so long. When I first moved to Auckland, Indian Ink was one of the first companies I saw on the Q stage. Really inspired. They're really welcoming. It feels like a big family. I love the balance in the room. And I'm really feel really grateful to be working as a company as well. We do a lot of company work. So going back to a lot of traditional training, like warming up in the mornings and things like that. Establishing our ensemble work and things like that, I feel like is really special to have today in this day and age. Yeah,
absolutely.
And for a number of years, Indian Ink shows, of course, had a tradition of mask.
That's right.
Is that still a thing for them? Like, is there a masked
office worker or choir member?
Ooh. I don't know.
Yeah, totally. Well, I'm the only person who wears a set of teeth. But which works as a mask, obviously. But, you know, we had this conversation recently in rehearsal. It's like the mask isn't limited to being just, you know, something on your face. It could be a piece of object of clothing or could be anything, really, or what the character leads with, the nose, the chin, the head. It's all part of it. It's all theatre, baby.
Exciting.
Absolutely. All right, we'll cross to our dolphin friends for a second. Tell us a little bit about your script, Glengarry Glen Ross. What's it all about?
Wonderful. It is a play that takes place in the 1980s in Chicago, and the majority of the cast are real estate agents.
An office. See, there's a
choir.
Okay.
Very much so.
Please tell me there's a choir randomly singing.
There is
out
actually
the windows,
no choir. But the
wouldn't that have been spooky?
Oh, that would have been a whole nother kind of show.
Sorry.
No, that's quite all right. Takes place in the 1980s Chicago. We are all kind of real estate agents who have very questionable morals just to get that sale, because you always have to be closing.
Except for me, who is a detective who is investigating a break-in that happened in their office.
Mm-hmm. So the first act is three separate scenes where it's all duologues, and we kind of are introduced to the characters having a conversation at a Chinese restaurant across the street. And then the second act is the following day, where a break-in has happened, where somebody has come in and stolen the golden leads, the premium leads, the good leads of the people who can buy the property.
Interesting. Now, it's set in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we doing about your accent?
My accent, my goofy Canadian accent, dearie. We all have a bit of a flavor that we all put on.
Yeah.
So we do, which it works out quite nicely.
I've got to learn how to put on an American accent. Just practice every day. Listen, just keep watching TV shows. Just try to nail down the American accent. You know, take classes, stuff like that. It's just practice. That's all it is.
All right, Catherine. Now, you know, throwing to the professional actor in the corner, what's your top tips for accents?
Oh, boy. Accents. Know where it's placed in the mouth, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And know what you're working with, what needs to be activated.
Yeah.
Very muscular American dialect. And open that throat and soft palate.
Yep. Now, Emma, it's not just accents they're having to change. When a certain person walked in the door today, you reacted to something else.
Yeah, he looks quite different to how he normally looks, does our Corey?
That I do. Normally I'm sporting quite the fashionable beard, let's say, but beards were not all that popular in 80s America at the time, but mustaches were. So I've shaved down and I'm now rocking a mo. When I'm not doing community theater in the evenings, I teach at Pakuranga High School or Pakuranga College, and the students were very surprised that I was allowed anywhere near a school the way that this mustache looks.
I had never seen Corey without a beard, so it was very much like, you look so different.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. Catherine, what's the biggest, I guess, physical change or thing that you've had to do for a role in your career?
Oh, I haven't had anything fun like that.
No?
I did. I've had, like, some makeup. I had to wear a full wig. I did an episode of Wellington Paranormal a couple of years ago, and it was a whole zombie bride and someone who worked at Spookers, which was fun.
Mm.
Jeez, they did it all in, like, 30 minutes. First time I ever wore eye contacts. Hurt. Well, have you got glasses on? Maybe you don't have your eye contacts.
Oh, I can't do
it. I had to do contact lenses for the last three or four shows that I've done, so
No, not so us. Invasive. I'm not an eyes person. I can't get anything near.
So take us back, Catherine. When did theatre and the arts sort of kick off for you?
Kick off.
Yeah. You'll get them all night.
I don't know, primary school? I always have loved writing stories. I'm a writer as well. And before Uni Tech, and I got my bachelor's of performing and screen arts, I was at Hagley Theatre Company. Wasn't always the plan, though. Like, I'd always loved theatre and performing, but I was talking to my flatmates today, actually, you know, and I told them that I was going to go to Dunedin and to Otago Uni and do a Bachelor of Science, but I couldn't afford the deposit. And so I was like, oh, I'll take a gap year and go to Hagley Theatre Company, and the rest is history, baby.
Nice.
Here she is.
And talk us through some of your theatre credits, and I guess I'm curious, I mean, has it always been sort of play, comedy, serious, musical? Like, where do you sit in your genre mix, or are you spinning the wheel all the time with the real mix?
Spinning the wheel as much as I can, but I do fall a lot in comedy. It's what I love. I work a lot with Snort and Heartthrobs. Did the Basement Christmas show last year, doing Slay. A lot of improv comedy, and I also do work as a stand-up comic as well, which is, I'm entering that ball game. It's own craft, hey, stand-up.
Yeah.
But comedy typically, but certainly not limited to, am I right?
Nice. Nice. Stand-up, that's, you know, we've had many a stand-up comedian on the show, Emma. It's not easy.
No, definitely not.
It's own craft.
Hey? Yeah. So how are you prepping in down that path?
It's going pretty well. I was a Raw Comedy finalist last year, so I've just been gigging at the Classic and things like that, and some other spots around the city, wherever opportunity presents itself, I guess. But really need to be writing more, I think. Got to sit down and be strict with myself. Mm. Yeah, work on it when I have the time. Yeah.
What do you like to draw your comedy from? What's its base?
I found the best thing for me is actually just kind of putting a voice note on my phone and just talking for a while, just to try and figure out what's kind of organically there. Quarter life crisis comes up a bit. But
to be back at quarter life.
I know, unlike a half life.
Awesome. What about you guys? When did it all sort of the art start for you?
I think, you know, like all my life, me and my sisters and I, we've always kind of played around with we've played you know,
I love that you stopped yourself saying that.
I have a bad habit of using the wrong words, my bad. My sisters and I, we played with soft toys when we were young. We give them characters, we make goofy voices for them, things like that. And we kept doing it until we were, until now, really. And in high school, I took drama as a class because I needed one more paper to... I needed one more subject for high school. And I really enjoyed drama. It was a bit like, me and my sisters playing together. But when I graduated high school, traditional Chinese family, dad wanted me to go get a proper, responsible job and career. So I kind of put that on the back burner a bit. About 2018. So that's, 2018, Mulan was... filming in the South Island, and I just took a leap of faith and said, you wanted to be an actor all your life, so why not give it a go? I met a lot of other Asian actors and creatives on set, and they gave me a lot of encouragement to go pursue acting as a career. So 2019, I was just taking lessons, training, and I thought 2020 is the year I'm gonna go out and do stuff. And we all know what happened. But last year, I was cast in my first ever play with Glen Eden Theatre, MASH the play, and then I've been doing shows and musicals ever since. So this is my fifth community theatre show in a row, I think. I should be taking a break, but, it's just too enjoyable.
You've
I just
got
can't
the bug.
Stop.
You've got the bug. There's no going back.
No.
Brilliant. And Corey?
Well, for myself, I think I caught the bug when I was probably 6 years old and I was tree number two.
Yay.
I know it had been a journey ever since. I've been, on stage, off stage, throughout it all, throughout... primary school, high school. I went to University of Guelph in Ontario, Canada for theater studies and worked in theaters there. And then when I moved to New Zealand for Teachers College, I was in Timaru at Timaru Boys High for my first teaching job, and I got heavily involved with South Canterbury Drama League and was back on stage for the first time in a while. And that would have been, 2015, where... basically, it's the Kiwi version of the Full Monty, so it's a very small town, and I had to leave. haven't been on stage since, but I have been focusing much on... Yes, exactly. Haven't been on stage really since, and have been kind of focusing on teaching students drama. And, Richard DeLuca, who's also a teacher at Pakuranga College... mentioned that this was being put on by Dolphin and encouraged me to try back out. And again, a leap of faith. And Brian decided to cast me in the show.
Nice. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, a little later in the show, we're going to catch up with your colleague Ryan as well and talk a lot more about the show itself. But before we go to our next song break, Catherine, tell us more for Indian Ink. What is it that you think makes them stand out as a theatre company?
Because that's not a big question.
I know. Well,
My biggest pull is like mask and that foundation. Like I said, of company work, I think really shines through in a lot of their performances. Just that work that comes with the rehearsals. If that makes sense.
What is it you love so much about this particular show and your character?
It's so much fun. It's like we're playing on stage and just the music component as well. It's funny you played Royals before because it's a key song.
Maybe I knew.
Maybe you did. Spoil the magic.
Now, talk us through your season. So give it a good plug. You're starting off in Auckland.
Starting off in Auckland, opening 16th of June. Gosh, that's soon. Rhymes. And closing 2nd of July. So we've got a decent run in
Auckland.
That's
at the Q Theatre.
That's right. And then I believe we're headed to Wellington. Is that what's next? Is it?
I've got Nelson in mind.
It is. 21st to the 23rd of July. We're in Nelson. I've never really been there before.
Theatre Royal.
That's right. Then we have Chicha, Christchurch, Waitahi, my hometown, stomping ground.
Isaac Theatre Royal, beat it, fabulous. Then you can head to Wellington, we'll let you.
That's right. 2nd to 11th of August at Soundings at Te Papa, so special. And finishing off in Tauranga, 18th to the 20th of August.
Brilliant, at the Addison Theatre in Baycourt.
That's
now,
right.
You can get tickets by heading to indianinc.co.nz, plus all the information on the show is up there, and some fantastic photos to walk you through the story. Plus, they've also got details of their other show, Paradise, which is coming up at the Frankston Arts Centre in Melbourne for our international listeners, and then at Bundjil Place, which is also in Melbourne. So touring over to Australia for the 11th and 13th of July. Well, Catherine, we wish you an amazing season. Thank you for checking in with us tonight on Kick Arts. We hope it goes well. We're definitely going to have to check this one out, Emma. I'm very curious on these choirs.
Gorgeous. Thank you
very
so much
curious.
For having me.
I'd be curious to interview at the end of the tour of what the differences might have been.
Oh my gosh,
around the country
stories.
As well. I bet you will.
It'll be awesome.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. And now we're going to take a song break. And after the break, we're going to chat with Riley Chance, author of The Democracy Game. Of course, it's King's birthday, so this time it's King of Wishful Thinking.
And I won't miss the way that
horses go west. King of wishful thinking on this King's birthday weekend. Still getting my head around saying king and not queen. It hasn't happened yet tonight. We're doing well. We're having fun with the phones tonight, so let's see if Stephen can press the right buttons this round. We're now delighted to chat with Riley Chance, who is the author of The Democracy Game. Welcome to the show, Riley.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Fabulous to have you here. And you're here to chat about your latest book that's just come out on the 1st of May called The Democracy Game. Tell us, what's it all about?
Right. So, well, first, as I always tell people, it's a thriller. It's written as, I mean, they call it popular fiction, which has always got a negative connotation, but it's not, because one of my, Bryce Courtney, who an author I really like, he said the opposite is unpopular fiction. So first off, it's, you know, it's got all the elements of a thriller. It's set in New Zealand, and it should be, people at the end of it should have, you know, an enjoyable read. But one of the reasons I write is to try and highlight, you know, areas of society where I think we need to have a little bit more scrutiny on, in this case, democracy. And just that idea in New Zealand that things like the populist movements we see, like Trump and Brexit, it couldn't happen in New Zealand. So I just thought, well, what would it look like if it did happen in New Zealand? And that's pretty much the basis of the book.
Nice. So what's your background that sort of leads you into writing something like this?
I wrote a book quite a few years ago, a memoir about being a single dad. So I've always had that sort of writing bug, but it's hard to write, raise a family, and all sorts of things like that. I had a role in the university teaching a course. It was called Te Turimai. It was about how citizens can change society. And so it was a wonderful course. I got to chat with 20 and 21-year-olds about how they saw society. And through that process, I just had that idea of, well, how can we change society? And I thought, well, one way to do it is to create something that might, you know, people can read and draw more attention to things. So that was it. I thought, I remember I was sharing an office and I came in one morning and said, I'm going to write a book. And that was it.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Love it. What fascinates you, I should say, about democracy as a whole?
I think the behind it was I watched the Capitol riot in America, where, you know, the Trump supporters invaded the Capitol, and there's this feeling that it couldn't happen in New Zealand, and a year later we had our own, you know, the encampment around Parliament, which wasn't quite as brutal and violent, but it was a very similar thing. And it just got me, I started reading a little bit more about it and realising that democracy is actually quite fragile. And I think sometimes we think democracy, you either have it or you don't. Mm. But I think you either have very strong democracy or you can have very weak democracy. And so that was sort of the interest. That's where I started, and just reading about, you know, populism and how these movements can actually garner support. I found fascinating. So I just put that into a thriller-type story.
Brilliant. What do you want people to take away from it? You know, the what's the review going to say? Write your review.
I mean, I always want people to say they just enjoyed reading the book first and foremost. Because if you don't do that, then you're probably going to lose them somewhere along the line. So get to that point. But really nice if they could reflect back and go, oh, you know, this democracy. Maybe I should learn a little bit more about the political scene. A lot of people say I don't like politics. You know, I'm not really interested. And yet it's one of the fundamental things. I mean, if you look at arts funding and things like that, who's sitting in Parliament is very key to how much money and what goes where. Mm. And so these things are important for all citizens, but we have this aversion. So I'd really like people to go, oh, you know, maybe I should know a little bit more. Maybe I'll have a few more conversations. Maybe I'll when I vote, and hopefully everyone will vote, I'll be a little bit more informed. That's what I'm wanting people to take away.
Brilliant. Now, talk to us about the journey itself. How long has this book been in the making?
Not that long, really. So it's the third book in the sort of series where it centres around my central character, Grace Marks, who's an investigative journalist, kind of, you know, nose around. And so I tend to write flat tack for 3 months without thinking too much about anything. I just keep writing, and then at the end of 3 months I've got about 80,000 words, and then I'll start to turn that into a book. So the previous book, Surveillance, that was about the rise of surveillance technology. and they kind of led into this one. So you're always thinking about these things, I think. I've always been obviously interested in politics. I think it's important. So it just sort of bounces around in your head, and at some point you start and then you just keep going.
Absolutely. All right, so have you got the next one ready to go?
Yes, I have, actually. That's come back from... I've got a wonderful copy editor up in Auckland, Jeff Walker, who gives me wonderful feedback. And that one's focused on access to justice and money, where those two things shouldn't be tied together, but they are. I don't know whether you followed the Colin Craig saga through the courts recently, but that was sort of the kernel for that. Why... How can you weaponise the court system and why that shouldn't be a good thing? So putting a story into that context.
Awesome. Look, the book sounds fantastic. I'm guessing it's available where all good books are sold, as we usually say?
Yeah, exactly. No is the answer to that. that's one of the functions. Writing is the art of writing is fun. Marketing is kind of tough work. It's in a number of bookstores. But, I mean, as I say to everyone, just go to your local bookstore and ask them to order it for you. And hopefully they will also order a few more copies for the next people who want to come along and purchase it.
Absolutely. Well, The Democracy Game, it's published by Copy Press Books. It's out now. Thanks, Riley. You've been a great person to chat with, and we'll look forward to catching up when you have your next book.
Awesome. That sounds brilliant. Thanks for having me on. It's been fun.
Awesome.
Join the Auckland Philharmonia Orchestra and Auckland Live as they celebrate Stephen Sondheim, showcasing some of the very best musical theatre scores. A night of Sondheim will be filled with classics from West Side Story, Sweeney Todd, A Little Night Music, and many more. APO's A Night of Sondheim, Thursday, 22nd of June at Auckland Civic Theatre. Book now at apo.co.nz.
Oh, that sounds fantastic, Emma. Can't wait to check that out. Now, while we were interviewing the fabulous Riley, you filled the studio with people. Like, we don't have enough microphones.
I went out in the street and in my bare feet and grabbed them and said, hey, have you got a show going on? And this guy jumped out of the darkness and was like, I gave up my dinner to get here early. No, it was this guy over here that did that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got lots of people in the studio. So a big, big welcome. And joining our Dolphin team is Ryan. Great to have you here.
Kia ora. Thank you so much for having me.
Very welcome. And we're going to catch up on your journey and your role in this interesting show very shortly. And then a big welcome to Madison and Vincent. Great to have you here.
Kia ora. It's nice to be here.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, how are you?
Well, I'm very well. I just love doing an interview, turning around and my room's full. Yeah.
Wonderful. Madison just needs to lean on in and have any words that she wants to say.
This is actually Lucy.
Oh, this is Lucy.
Sorry.
Hey, no. Lucy,
welcome. Oh, no, I see. When we work off a call sheet.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
No. Maddie is the producer, and this is Lucy, the director.
Brilliant. Brilliant. All right. Well, we're going to catch up with you both throughout the next half of the show. Ryan, tell us, because we've been talking a lot about Dolphin Theatre Show. Mm. Who do you play in this journey?
I am the stickler. I'm the manager of this wonderful establishment, John Williamson. That's me. I'm the boss.
You're the boss.
Office. Yeah.
All right. So we had a conversation earlier about accents. How's your accent coming along?
It's pretty shite, I'm not going to lie. I need my bro over here, Corey, that's playing Moss, to whip me into shape, and it's been a pleasure to work with these guys. They bring their personality and their individuality to the role, and I just can't wait for people to see it.
Yeah. Nice. What's your take on the story?
Well.
Where to start?
Exactly. I'm sure the others have filled you in on a little bit. From a managerial perspective, I have actually spoken. It's late night, so I can say this, I believe. We're all a bunch of shitheads, basically, apart from our Balin, played by the lovely Ben, and the bro that plays George as well. He's a sweetheart.
Mark Bishop.
Yeah, there's a lot of egos going on. Wouldn't you agree, Corey?
Very much so.
A lot of egos. But
is that not real estate in general? Lots of egos?
Agreed. And this is like amplified by roids in this wonderful show, which has a lot of lovely black comedy. Yeah, a lot of wit, sharp dialogue, and Yeah, it's not for the faint of heart, I'll tell you that. My grandmother, when she watched it with me, she was just like, "Oh, not my cup of tea, dear." But I still love her, and she'll be there in spirit. But going over to the team, what we've created from the beginning is just a brotherly environment where we can be ourselves, bring our personality, and our awesome director, Brian Keegan. Yes. You're out there having a whiskey on us. He's like an Irish uncle to me and to the rest of the team. He is straight up to the point. We love him. And El Presidente, Simon of Dolphin Theatre. Big shout out to those two. We wouldn't have this show without them. And, yeah, I'm just lucky to have an awesome group of bros. So, yeah.
So before we went to the break, we were chatting to your bros about their theatre journey. When did it all start? So when did it start for you? Take us back. How far back are we going?
About a year and a half ago.
Oh, that was quite quick. That'll be a quick story. All right.
Exactly. And we're over you, Ron. Ryan. I started with I did Much Ado About Nothing with Shoreside.
Yep.
And I just thought, you know, screw it. I'm just going to give acting a go. Mm. I moved up from the Bay of Plenty and decided to get off the couch here in Auckland and just give something new a shot. And it's kind of working-ish. Yeah. I reckon it's just the Irish luck. I'm half Irish, half Māori, and proud of both of my my whānaus. But it's been a wonderful journey, a challenging one, but I've met awesome people along the way where there's no filter, where you can just literally be yourself and give back, because it's really, you know, it's about the audience at the end of the day. And we just can't wait to see people come along and watch what we're going to bring.
I was actually asked today by Meg Andrews, what is it about community theatre? And I said, it's exactly that, community. That word, community, you know, that is why. So, you know, you gave acting a go, community theatre, people like Meg and Jordan and all those people who obviously made you part of the Auckland Theatre whānau straight away.
Absolutely. Going over to Meg Andrews, she is basically like a sister from another mister.
Yeah.
And big shout out to her. And so when you brought her up, I started bubbling because she was there from when I did Much Ado. And Shoreside from the beginning, and you know, bless her and the whole Shoreside team. Yeah,
I think community. What I found in community theatre is that they're filled with, and I mean this in a really good way, very accepting weirdos. That whatever you say and do, they've probably seen something weirder, and they will wholeheartedly and very lovingly accept you for who you are and all your flaws. And I feel so blessed to be among such wonderful, talented and weird people.
I love it how he just looked around the whole room then. He said, I feel blessed, and he looked at everybody to say, a room full of weirdos.
I have to say, though, I've seen some photos from Vincent in his Greek gear.
Right.
Some people might class that as a bit weird.
Mm, so, Lucy, tell us, what is this show all about?
Hello. So, yes, I'm Lucy. I'm directing Vinny's show. Should we do the full title?
Yes, do, because I didn't want to get this wrong, so you say it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, it's Vincent Andrew Scammell presents Ross Jacob Livingston presenting Class 101, The Entire History of Greek Mythology.
Okay, so it is...
I love 103 on my...
Yeah, that is right, 103. It's Vincent Andrew Scammell presents Professor Ross Jacob Livingston presenting Class 103, Greek Mythology.
Brilliant. That's all right. So once you got the title nailed, how did directing go?
I feel like, 80% has just been remembering the title.
So what is it all about? Take us through the story.
So it is about a professor who comes out to do a lecture on Greek mythology, and he is incredibly passionate about the subject for lots of reasons that we get into in the show, except he has a few habits, a few things as a public speaker that means that he gets anxious, and things start to unravel in the lecture. And then at some point, we won't reveal what happens, but the muses intervene, and suddenly he's imbued with the power of theatre, and he can put on a beautiful lecture and go into the world of Greek mythology, and he becomes characters in the world. We cover, like, we go from Apollo through till the Battle of Troy. Would you like to elaborate?
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, you've said it all. The muses intervene, becomes less of a lecture and more of a solo theatre show. Yeah, and it's just everything's in relation to the audience the whole time. Lots and lots and lots of games and just a silly, fun time.
I don't know why, though. Like, I know I made the comment about the photos being a bit weird, but because I was getting Mr. G vibes. Like, is your professor character a bit Mr. G?
He's not. Mr. G is 100 times more confident than Professor Ross Jacob Livingstone. I wish I had the skill to to do Mr. G, but no, he's a lot more reserved and just really trying to get it right. Really, really cares about as much as Mr. G does, but maybe he's not quite as vain.
Well, you did great modelling in those photos, though, clearly, because I thought you looked confident.
Yes, in the photos, definitely, you know.
So tell me, one person show, and I guess I'm curious to have this answered by both of you. Lucy, first of all, what's it like directing just one person? And I guess how much give and take is there? Because it's a little bit different to sort of working like a whole cast like the Dolphin show here. You've got one actor. How much give and take is there? Like, how much is he allowed to control this?
Yeah, I feel, not that this is completely relevant, I feel I should say we've been in a relationship for 5 years and that sort of informs.
That can be good and bad in this scenario.
Yeah, so yeah. It's, on the one hand, it's great because I know Vinny so well as a person and a performer, so nice. I can just let him go, and he's full of ideas. So many, I feel like I can give him a provocation and then he'll just ad lib for, like, I don't know, for a good amount of time, and then I can pick and take, knowing how he works best. But it has been, yeah, I think it's been just a combination of me not trying to project my ideas of the show onto Vinny and just guiding him and trying to find where he finds joy or where he's curious or what makes him excited about doing the show, and then shaping that.
Does the buck stop with you, though? Like, if there's that much, like, how do you then determine?
Oh, I just... Did you notice that facial shift?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, both of them.
Oh, we're watching you.
Yeah.
Where is the buck? We have yet to find the buck.
So you generally work together in the same space. It's obviously working.
I think so, yeah. We're throwing the buck back and forth, and then sometimes we drop it, and sometimes it's not a buck at all.
Okay, Vinny, what's your take on that original question? How do you work in a directorship with just a one-person show? Because you're getting everything from one person as well.
I think it's pretty vital when you're making a show alone. I made a version of the show in 2019 completely by myself. And, well, I was still in the walls of Toi Whakaari, of drama school. So there was some safety in that. But it was by myself in a studio just making the show alone and then not showing anyone and then going home every day going, I think I have to quit. I think it's over. So, yeah, it was a no-brainer to get a director in. And, yeah, Lucy knew that show and obviously knows me very well. So it was a no-brainer to have her in, yeah.
So that was a lovely transition to kind of going back to your fucker papa back through theatre. How did it all begin for you?
there's a silly story that I tell, but it truly is how it started. I was on a school camp that was the Greek Olympics, the school that I went to. I went to the Christchurch Rudolf Steiner School, and all the Steiner schools get together in Napier every year. I think they're still doing this, and they do the Olympics. And you are all a different Greek city. I was Athens, and yeah, there was...
You by yourself were Athens?
Just me. No. Different students from schools, you know, come together to be each city. And in the cabins, you know, I was not popular at any point through up until this point. I was about 11 on this camp, and yeah, the way that I found my way into the social group was through improvising a puppet show with my stuffed toy Nettle, who was like a little orange dog, and I was making everyone laugh, and for a moment I was like, oh my god, this is my way in to like friendship and social. I can make people laugh, and then that is how it started. And I saw improv a couple of years later. I saw Scared Scriptless in Otatahi, and then was like, that's what I want to do. Started improv classes, and then found acting at the Court Theatre as well. doing both, and then I was a court jester for a year, and then drama school, and then I moved up here and to continue to pursue it, because yeah, I was lucky to know so early on that this is what I wanted to do, like, yeah, 14 years ago. Yeah,
that is so cool.
Lucia, you're a performer as well as director, and
other hat. That's right, so many hats. No, this is actually my first stint in directing, so it's great. I've had the trust of Vinny. We were in the same class at drama school, and that is how we did a show together, and we've been doing improv together, and yeah.
It's nice. It's nice that a partnership can work on and off the stage, because it doesn't always, you know. So that's really awesome. What made you create this in itself?
I feel like I'm always harking on about the Steiner education, but a part of that is you go through all the different mythologies. So we went through Egyptian, then Norse, and then Greek, and immediately I fell in love with these stories. These epic, stories of these heroes facing all of these different tasks, a god personifying each thing in the world. It's like it's a beautiful way to understand the world, and I can see why it ended up emerging for this ancient civilization, this way to understand love, to personify it, because we understand people, and to personify war and storms and the sea. And I've always loved it since I was a kid, and it is a way for me to bring that, like, childhood love of these stories to, like, my adult life as well, and have everyone else hopefully feel the same joy and laughter and wonder of these stories, because they are so important, these stories. They're 3,000 years old, and they are still with us through all of Europe, and every English speaking country is like rooted to Greek mythology somehow. Shakespeare constantly is referencing a whole lot. He wrote a play. I mean, Cleopatra was Egyptian, but you know, about a Roman and but anyway, he mentions all of these gods all the way through, and yeah, there's something so beautiful about these stories still being with us, and the Greeks valued theatre so much. It was valued just as much as algebra and democracy and the camera, you know, all of the other inventions that were pillars of their society, alongside the council chambers was an amphitheater just as big. That's the reason I think that their stories have lasted so long, is how much importance they put through into these stories, and people collecting together to hear and share in these experiences and understand each other. Mm. Yeah.
Now that passion, I would love to hear from these guys if they were to write a one-person show about a passion. Mm-hmm. What might their show be about?
Do you want to take it away, Corey?
Sure.
I mean, how do we follow that? I mean, Greek passion and Shakespeare inspiration. And I agree completely with the Shakespeare, like, doing Much Ado, the use of masks. You know, look how heavily that is put into, like, you know, Greek. And I don't know as much as all these lovely people with theatre. I'm still learning, and I'm sure we all are. But, I want to come see the show after you, like, talked about it.
Good promo.
But, yeah,
well done.
Absolutely. Well done. You sold me. Going back to what you said, the one-man kind of show. Mm-hmm. For me, I come from a sport background and music on both sides. Heavily musical on my Irish side. Heavily music on the Māori side. You know, potato, kumara, whatever you want to call it. And, yeah, I'd like to combine, like, a Celtic Māori chief, like a mixture of the two, because that's kind of like who I am, minus the chief. I'm still in training there. I want to project that. Like, we're all kind of like fruit salads, if you think about it. We're all got like a mixture of different cultures and bloods running through our veins. So, it you know, to me, we're all started from, I mean, only God knows where. I'd like to do something like spiritual in the means of that.
Awesome. Yeah. Corey?
For me, I say yeah. No, my teaching is definitely one of my big passions, and I get a lot of that just making stuff up with my students as it is. Another big passion of mine would have to be kind of like tabletop role playing, Dungeons and Dragons, Pathfinder, Call of Cthulhu, things like that. There's a show I'm trying to remember. Is it She Slays Monsters? No, what is the show? There is a show that is based off of a female protagonist who is going through some struggles, and she finds solace in Dungeons and Dragons and kind of goes on her own adventure. No, I'd love to put on something like that. That'd be great.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine, if I bring you back into this, from, you know, we talked earlier about your stand-up comedy side of things. She thought she'd escape, but no. but, you know, listening to Vinny, what's the, I guess, the vulnerability of doing it on your own?
Mm.
There is no one to bounce. I mean, Emma and I have done many a show together on stage, and it's usually improv, and we can bounce off, and, you know, if one of us is having one of those days, the other will pick it up. What's it like being on your own up there? How do you then almost get yourself back on track?
Yeah, it's true. I've done some solo theatre work before, and it feels so different to doing stand-up comedy. It feels stand-up comedy just feels so much more vulnerable. Vinny, you've done a little bit before. Mm. Something about it is actually just you up there. You're not hiding behind a character, and you're telling stories about your life, and it's like, hey, this is me. Do you like me?
and if they don't laugh.
And if they don't laugh. But I really find a lot of enjoyment in watching actors explore stand-up comedy, because I think they really know how to be present in front of an audience, and I think that carries that so much. That's the hardest thing to find, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Vinny, for you, how do you cope with that?
The second relationship becomes the audience, and then that's who you're working off, that's who you're playing off, that's who give you and surprise you and allow you to be live still. There's nothing worse than a solo show, unless it's a really, really specifically beautifully choreographed solo show. There's nothing worse than a solo show that isn't like that, being the same every night. You really want your audience and how they're reacting, responding, to be the second person, I think.
Mm.
And, yeah, that's different to stand up again, because, you know, you're so far removed and you've got this microphone. But,
sure.
Yeah, that's how I cope with it, yeah.
So, Lucy, in these COVID times, we're all directing shows. I mean, my last show I had understudies for understudies. You have your alternate senior understudies and then, oh, my goodness, your understudies. How do you do this with a one-person show? I mean, do you keep him bubble wrap for the next 30 days and he's not allowed to see or breathe?
That's right. I've actually been taking little bits of Vinny's DNA to make either a clone, or I could do it. That's actually, I shouldn't admit this on
air. Are you the understudy?
It's me.
It's me.
It's me. And actually, fingers crossed, no.
Vinny's not into panic. Yeah. But it is the reality of a one-person show, isn't it? I mean, we've had so many shows on. I don't know how you guys are planning to work if someone gets sick. And do you have understudies at the Dolphin?
Do we have understudies?
Oh, I love that look. Yeah. Nope. Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, because it's a huge impact then. Yeah, you're not allowed to get sick. We'll try not to cough in the next song break.
I truly have been masking up. People ask now. They're at a point now where people are like, why are you wearing a mask? Like, should I be wearing a mask right now? But people have been asking, but I've been just playing it as safe as I can.
You.
Because
no, go for it. Well, it's not even COVID. It's just getting sick these days means you've got to isolate yourself or stay away.
Absolutely,
Or have everyone look at you. And a one-person show being coughed over is probably not a good look.
Yeah, no. Yeah, so I've been being as careful as possible.
Not only to mention, though, is that if the director has to take over, that's going to extend the title of the show even more.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll go to a song break and they can work out what that title is. All right, we better take a break. Here's Lauren, I think it's Aquilina, and it's her song called King, because, of course, it's King's birthday weekend.
Not your flaws.
Beautiful song. Very beautiful song. And
turn my microphone on, Stephen.
I just wish does anyone in here know how we say her surname? Is it Aquilina? Aquilina? We're going with that, but Lauren, absolutely brilliant. And check it out. It's available on YouTube.
There you go.
Now, before the break, we were asking about solo shows. Ben, it's your turn. What will your solo show be about?
I think it'd be about exploring cultures. So I am a migrant to New Zealand. I've lived in Switzerland. I've lived in Germany. I've experienced a lot of cultures, working with lots of migrants as well. And if there's one thing I notice about people in general is that we tend to look at the differences between different peoples and different cultures. We sometimes forget to look at how we are all similar in so many ways, and not just our food, but our language, you know, everything. So I think my passion play would be about trying to find the kind of similarities that we share across different cultures.
Nice. Well,
that's a nice segue into our next question, Ben. We're going to stay with you. So it's now quick fire round on Kick Arts with all our guests in the studio. And your question then is...
You've all got different questions, yeah, yeah. so don't start planning.
Yeah. So when you're standing receiving your... Theatre Award or BAFTA. Golden Globe, BAFTA, who are you going to look back and thank for this journey?
Oh, dear gods.
That's a good start.
There are so many people that I would like to thank that I don't know where to begin, but, you know, I am...
You have to do it quickly because the music will play.
I have to absolutely thank my parents for without which I would not be here, and my sisters for being the inspiration to acting. But yeah, there's so many people who have inspired me and, you know, taught me and, you know, pushed me to be where I am today. So it's not a short list, and I don't think I do it justice by just thanking one person. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Nice. All right. Corey, what question have we got for Corey?
So I think because Corey's a teacher, he probably, you know, has some inspirational words for young people. So, Corey, if you could go back to your 16-year-old self, what advice might you give yourself?
What advice would I give myself? That's an excellent question, Emma. I would say just show up. Always show up. It doesn't matter what you have on or if you don't want to go somewhere. Just people notice when you're not there, and you should definitely just always show up.
Nice.
Okay, all right. Lucy, Creative New Zealand, they've just released magical millions of dollars of funding, and you've just scored a massive check for a project, dream project of yours. What is that project?
Okay. Millions of dollars.
Well, as much as you want, whatever you applied for.
Fantastic. I would like to start by just housing all of my artist friends so we can, like, just create, like, a foundation so people can show up to rehearsals. I feel like that would be maybe the base that I'd start with. I don't know, something with, like, food. What else do I like? Dogs maybe? Singing dogs? Could we train a dog to sing?
Okay.
Maybe, perhaps.
I'm not sure that this Creative New Zealand funding's going down the route I'd planned in the application process, Emma.
Cheese. Raining cheese. Singing dogs. friends with houses, and a beautiful moment where Oscar Isaac and I share our feelings for each other.
Okay. All right. So just a note, Vinny, if Lucy is ever in charge of Creative New Zealand funding, just take the forms your way. Okay. That was frightening. Catherine, if you could be any role in any show anywhere in the world, what's it going to be?
I don't like this question. Any show. I've just been rewatching Fleabag over and over. I love her work and how she turned it into a TV show. Yeah, she's my idol, Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Gorgeous.
Did you expect that one, Emma?
No.
Okay, cool.
It was a bit, or Things I Know to Be True. I'd love to be a part of that. It was a gorgeous show. They did it last year.
Yeah. All right. Ryan, is the newbie on the block, then.
On the block.
Take us back. If you could go and talk to your 16-year-old self, sit him down and have a very serious conversation, knowing what you now know, what would you say to him?
Look somewhere else for advice. I'd honestly just... Others are like, don't listen to me, buddy. Be patient. Yeah, you don't put so much pressure on yourself. You know, you're absorbing all this information. A lot of it's going to come naturally with time. We all know this. We put so much pressure on ourselves. So just be patient, one step at a time. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Nice. So, Vinny, earlier in the show, before you arrived, Ben was saying how he, when he left school, coming from his culture, getting a real job was important. What would you say to the parents out there that are trying to encourage their children to get a real job?
It is so funny. It's like the opposite advice that my mum gave me. She was very supportive. I would say that there are things to be learned from getting a real job. There's a discipline that can be learned from having to be there every single day. And if you are going to go into the arts, it is possible to still have that same due diligence and commitment. And if they're worried that this is just going to, their child is going to end up going down some kind of wayward path, that's not true. There is a community of people that all want to build something together, and you can still learn those hard skills of commitment and hard work. It is really hard work just being in the arts field. And it is still possible to be able to make a career, a meaningful career that you really care for and building towards something greater than yourself. I think it can be really a really selfless career path as well. Yeah,
beautiful. And if you tap into Lucy's funding, well, then, you know.
That's right.
There'll be some singing dogs along the way.
Yeah.
We haven't asked you this question. What do you want audiences to take away from your show? And if you had the hidden camera, what would you like to be hearing them say as they leave?
I want them to walk down the stairs and go, man, theatre's vital. Theatre is, we can swear, is that late night?
Yeah.
Theatre is fucking vital and needs to be a part of the society, and reflecting on stories together. I feel the same about cinemas. If cinemas closed, it would be disastrous. You want a whole audience experiencing something en masse and all feeling something together, because then you feel alive. You feel like what it's so cheesy, but it feels like what it means to be human, experiencing these things together. It's similar to what you're saying about finding the similarities between cultures, but even between people that are the same culture. It's so important.
I think also, like, in theatre, when you get to that scene, you know, where everyone's laughing, and when there's that really tense scene, and when no one's saying anything on stage and the audience is quiet and has all the attention from you, the energy you feel from that theatre is just... I can't describe it.
You have to be
on stage to experience such a thing. But it is also such a... It's such an emotional moment at that point in time.
Okay, Lucy, same question for you. As director, the theatre critic sitting in the front row opening night, you haven't had to go on, he's stayed safe and well. What are you hoping the theatre critic writes opening line?
Opening line, something like, wow, I feel after watching the show, I feel a little bit sillier, a little bit warmer. I want them to have so many specific moments to refer to, like this moment where the Minotaur was on the ground and this moment, and it wasn't this amazing, this but this cool thing he did with his hands with the fire, and just filled with sort of juicy anecdotes.
It's
delight.
Cool.
I think
it's cool.
Filled with a sense of delight.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, to wrap us up now, and we're going to go in order of Vinny, Catherine, and then someone's going to choose from the Dolphin once I give the task. You're going to do a non-stop promo that's going to gently pass. So we're going to start with your show, when it's on, people can get tickets, any information you want to tell them. And then you've got to somehow segue into Indian Ink. We've got to somehow segue into Dolphin. I've got some nice backing music for you, but you've got to get out your ticket information. Now, we did do Indian Ink earlier, but you stayed around, so you get a second plug. All right, you're going to take it away. Vinny, give us your promos.
Okay, Class 103, Greek Mythology, the abbreviated title. It is opening on Tuesday. It goes through to Saturday. That's the 6th to the 10th of June at 6:30 p.m. Basement Theatre. The tickets can be found on Basement's website, Basement Theatre's website, on the What's On. It'll be one of the first things in there. And in this show, there is a moment of beautiful singing. And another show that is included a whole lot of beautiful singing from a bunch of different choirs is Dirty Work, I believe.
That is accurate. Dirty Work is coming to theatres in Auckland, Christchurch, Wellington, Nelson and Tauranga. You can find the tickets and information about the show at indianink.co.nz. Come for laughter, fun and twists and turns. Hey, Glengarry's continuing on.
Not sure if that was a beautiful segue, but anyway.
Yes, we'll get right into it. So yes, Glengarry Glen Ross playing at the Dolphin Theatre, opening on the 16th of June, and we close on the 1st of July. Tickets can be found on Dolphin Theatre's website. It is featuring Ryan Douglas, Arthur Young, Nat Charles, Mark Bishop, Oliver Roberts, myself, Corey Hare, and Benedict. You? Fantastic. But yes, come on out.
Brilliant. And where do we head for tickets?
The Dolphin Theatre website.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's dolphintheatre.org.nz. And of course, Emma, to finish our promo, people can find all this information and more on our sites.
They sure can, but I do need to put up two of the shows. So tomorrow, jump over to our events page at kickarts.org.nz and you can find out where all these shows are happening. Glengarry's up there at the moment because, of course, Dolphin Theatre are our sponsors for this month.
Yeah, absolutely. So a massive thank you to the team at Dolphin and to all our guests tonight. Emma, what's your week looking like this week?
Calm.
Calm?
Yeah. Calm. Believe it or not, that's usually not a word I use.
No.
Although I got a pleasant surprise that someone that I'm going to Hamilton on Wednesday night after I'd said I was boycotting.
Me too, and I'm going Thursday.
There
someone
we go.
Got me the ticket as well.
It's amazing when suddenly they drop in price, but I was boycotting because Spark Arena is not the place to put on a show like that. But if I've got a ticket, I'm not saying no.
And it'll be lovely to catch up with the fabulous Matu and see him on stage.
And Akina.
Yeah, awesome. I'm also getting to Kinky Boots on Friday.
You're going to love it.
Then, of course, auditions for Ghost next weekend, so it's a busy time.
Busy time for you. Calm. I'm just going to keep saying that word.
Calm.
Calm.
Keep it calm.
Yeah, it's not normally my word.
Now, how can people get in touch? And we do need people to get in touch early. We're getting a lot of last-minute requests, but now we're live. You need to book in advance.
You sure do. You need to email us at info@kickarts.org.nz. Let us know what's happening, whether it be visual arts, music, anything. We need some new Kiwi music to play as well. So if you've got any bands out there that you know, tell on them. Tell us what your friends and neighbours are doing. Maybe they're too shy to tell us.
Yeah, and remember, you can be anywhere in New Zealand. Our podcasts are downloadable from planetaudio.org.nz/kickarts. I promise I will eventually learn how to use the phone system and not cut people off, so don't be shy to come on here.
Definitely.
Vinny, what have you got next in line for you this year?
Next in line for me is I'm doing the show again in Ototahi in August and in Poneke in September. So it is a tour of the show.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Brilliant. And Catherine, what are you up to once you finish? Well, you're touring for quite a while.
I am. Otherwise, I'm doing Snort for its final year every Friday night. I won't be on every Friday, but that's happening.
So tell people what Snort is if they don't know.
Oh, Snort, it's an improv comedy night made up of some OG comics is where they got their start in the stomping ground. Yeah, been going for 10 years and it's finally coming to a close.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. Awesome. Dolphin team, anything lined up post this show?
Acting-wise, no, not so much for myself, but I'll be heading off to the Drama New Zealand conference there with Emma in Rotorua, and then after that I'll be starting up at Rosehill College as their head of drama and dance, so very excited about that.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. That's cool. So you're going to be in charge of some productions as well?
That I am.
Brilliant. All right. Are we going to grow the beard back, though?
Ah, yes. No, as soon as the show is finished that night, shaving off the mo, growing the rest back.
Okay, fair enough. Gentlemen, anything else lined up in the arts world?
I've got an audition lined up for Sweeney Todd the Musical in Gleneden Theatre. So fingers crossed something good happens from that.
Nice.
Sweet. And lucky last me, honestly, I'm just go with the flow. I call it let go and let God, whatever comes my way. I just I go with it and just grateful to be a part of this Dolphin Theatre experience and meeting these lovely people here tonight. And thank you so much to Emma and Stephen for having us.
Brilliant. Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming on Kick Arts tonight. We love having you here. Keep coming back. We want to hear how your tours go. That's really important. And stay in touch and jump online and book tickets and come and support the shows. Still lots happening, Emma, eh? There's so much.
It's fabulous.
So much happening. Emma's doing gestures at me because I've told her we've still got a minute to talk.
So we're just going to make crap up.
Absolutely.
Lucy's going to say something.
Oh, go, Lucy.
No, I just have another plug.
Go.
Forgot. We're in an improv group called Bull Rush, and we have, oh no, I don't actually know when the next show is, but we are doing shows in July.
And whereabouts is that on?
A mixture of, we're doing some shows at the Basement and potentially wine cellars, so different locations
so
across.
So Bull Rush is a comedy that we just all like charge when you call it out and all the audience change seats or
exactly,
something?
Exactly, that's right.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Make sure you send us through your details so we can put it on our events page. Ooh.
Yes, good plug. Head to kickarts.org.nz. Thanks for joining us on this King's birthday weekend. Thanks to our guests for coming in. We appreciate it. We've played music all night to do with Kings. Well, this one's a little bit different, but I couldn't resist. It's Everybody Wants to Rule the World. It's Tears for Fears. Have a fabulous week and make sure you
kick some arts.
your teeth and don't forget to go to sleep. We'll be going live, same time under the stars, saying blah, 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 blah. Let's go kick some.